Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Father, we bless you for every calling represented here and for your mighty hand. This morning, let it be the needed breakthrough that we so desire. No one will leave here confused. And we bless you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Now let's give the Lord a big shout of praise and that big hand. Come on, is that the best you can do? Is that the best you can do? Bless the one who separated you from your mother's womb and give him praise. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. You are looking radiant and amazing. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's start from 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Amen. Second Timothy 4. For the sake of contextual understanding, I may have us read from verse 1. But where we are really going to is verse 5. Second Timothy 4, from verse 1, please. Verse 1. All right. Can you give us 2 Timothy 4:1? All right. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. So when you do this, these are the ingredients of what you should do as a minister. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Okay? Uh-huh. Now look at verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ear wants to hear. Now, before I continue reading, one of the most dangerous ways to raise men is to raise men with itching ears. One of the signs that you are really raising men and you are doing your work correctly is that they are selective listeners. Nothing has bastardized the emergence of believers like that quality defined there. Do you know what happens when you... sorry, please. When people have itching ears, they want to use anything to check it. They want to... Are you following what I'm saying? Have you seen people that remove cover of Bible too? Some of you are guilty of that. Village People Enterprise. Some even step the babalawoism to another level of using feathers. Have you seen that before? They will always see them with feathers. They are not abali, so. Once the thing is doing them in church. What's the worst one again? Some is paper, they will roll. Huh? Matches. My God. All right. No, it's bad. When people are not trained to know difference, it's bad. All right? This morning I came trusting God. Where I get to depends on your hunger. But I have my own outline. Is that okay? Uh-huh. I know there are mixtures of different kind of ministers and ministry seated. So how to get that balance depends on who is hungry. Uh-huh. All right? So say what they are itching here wants to hear. Verse 4. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to meat. But you, keep your head in all situations. Are you following what I'm saying? Dear ministers, keep your head in all situations. Keep your head in all situations. Because it is very possible to lose it. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. That is, win souls. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I don't know who asked them to give me this in NIV. Can I have it in King James? Let me have verse 5 in King James. Verse 5 now. It said, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof. Make full proof. Tell your neighbor, make full proof of your ministry. Tell your neighbor again, make full proof of your ministry. Say it in case the fellow didn't hear, to another neighbor, say, make full proof of your ministry. Now let's look at this scripture. Colossians chapter number 4, verse 17. Colossians chapter number 4, verse 17. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 17, please. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So let me start from the basic, most basic part. I've been taking a series, and if you're a minister, you've got to listen to that series. And you want to get your people to. And let me advise, okay? I want to be very practical. It is not in every situation that you listen to a message and give it to your people to listen to. The minister may be accurate in that message, but not accurate in others. You have joined them with his lack of accuracy. So what you do is that you feed, they interpret. It's okay to interpret. Recently, we had to delete a minister from the league of ministers we can ever invite. Why? Once you are a minister who goes online to insult ministers or speak angrily to the body of Christ, we will never bring you. And I just called the faculty. I said, pull this person down from my ministry. That's it. I went to check the list of the ministry platform where it said they are mentoring people. I saw some of my people there. I kept quiet. All right? Anytime you invite people to your platform, you are endorsing their life. Hence, you want to be careful of who you bring. Once I see a minister of God who has the guts to talk down on other ministers and ministries, finally we'll never step our platform. This platform is for building the body of Christ, not for destroying it. All right? And you will never see me go online and talk down on ministers. I won't try it. Privately, I won't do it. Ask people, this man of God, no comment. No comment. So his master is stand, so his master is false. The master is able to keep him from falling. And let me say this to you. One of the things that make people lose relevance, you need to understand this. As you grow in ministry, the generation that will give you relevance are those behind. That's the truth. As you grow, because they are the next new thing. The moment you begin to talk down younger generations, talk down. See, be careful of ministers who always seize issue with younger generations. Young ministers, this, young ministers, that, young ministers. Run. Most of them wants to get you to a point where they can control you. Are you following what I'm saying here? As a minister, you are a servant of God. You are not controlled by anyone. Are you accountable? Yes. Not controlled. Not through the tool of fear and manipulation. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. Very important. Sometimes I take years to study a person. we want to bring this person to our platform, but I'm studying so that it will not be that what I heard was the day you were fine. All right? If it blessed me, except for people I can vouch for, that they've been consistent over the years, I can say, okay, you guys hear this. I just hear something random, it blessed me. All right, I will interpret it and then tell my people. Because sometimes your people start going into error because of someone you endorsed. There was a minister that was invited. You were there in that meeting at Ife. The man of God talked down everything that church was standing on. You know that meeting? he destroyed that church that brought him. He said there's nothing like Garden of Eden. God is not in heaven. He said many things. Once a minister of God comes to preach something different from the ordinance of the house, watch out for those sons and daughters who are jumping. They are gone already. They've never been around. They should be able to discern. This is not the meal. All the pastors that were jumping, yes! They left that ministry after 2 weeks. They just started saying God has asked them to leave. Are you following what I'm saying? You know why you hear? So this is not revelation. This is revelation. That's why it's okay. It's not going anywhere. Once you fall into the trap of trying to say new things always, you become a false teacher. What the word must be is to be fresh, not new. It is his word that is new every morning, not yours. And that's, he said, it made me lie down, all right? He fed me with green pastures, green. That's freshness, not new pastures. Green. And the idea of freshness is the source, where it's coming from. That's why you pray. See, once you stop praying as a minister, you'll be under pressure. So you hear that there's something raining. This is one new thing people are saying now. So what are my people hearing? So let me to gather them and begin to say some deep, deep stuff. You confuse them. I'm going to be very practical with you this morning. So I'm going to start from the basics. Now, I've been taking a series on the Great Commission. And I said the church, all right, get that series, has threefold of assignment. Threefold of assignment. Number one, all right, is to gather the harvest. All right, number two is to process the harvest. Number three is to deploy. Now, you must understand that any ministry you claim to have that has no foundation from a local church is not endorsed by God. I'm going to show you from scriptures. There must be a base of a local assembly. That's where your track record is coming from. Whatsoever everyone has ordained, the head must confirm. We see, one of the problems we have is that we have people who wake up out of the blues. I just said they have a calling, never served anywhere, never been trained anywhere, no track record of anything, and suddenly they are taking care of people's lives. And that local assembly also includes campus fellowship. It's a local assembly. So if you started from your campus fellowship, you served in any capacity, either as a steward, or you were privileged to be a leader, all right, then God called you out of there. That's fantastic. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because ministry requires a lot of accountability and structures of it. And one of the reasons why I practically don't argue with people, ministers, say, be accountable. Say, I won't. The people you are raising will learn your lifestyle, not your message. See, 2017 or thereabout, in the heat of, there was a doctrinal siege in the body of Christ. Oh, if you don't know this, you are a spiritual baby. People were insulting, saying all those things. There was one guy that was the leader of those crew. They would lead mob attack and attack ministers, attack many pastors. You see, I told you then, I said the message is using to attack the fathers is raising those that will rebel against him. It's the same message. It's not true. The message you are preaching to justify your weakness is also raising those that will use it against you. That's the same message. All right? The church folded up. The church folded up. It's not my joy, but I saw it coming. There are certain things you don't do.
Are you following what I'm saying? All right. There are things that we have seen as casualties in many ministries that it's difficult here because you can't trace it to my life. You can't trace it. Please be seated. All right. You can't trace it to my life. So the church is the grooming ground for ministry gifts. The church is the grooming ground for ministry gift. Having been saved, washed with the blood, bought with the price, justified, seated with Christ in heavenly places, you are placed in a local assembly. The message, the teaching, the practice, the culture, the trainings in that house are to build you specifically into what God wants to do with your life. You must understand that. And everything is a part of the deal. You can't love the message and hate the method. You must love the both. Every package in your local assembly is designed, orchestrated by God to raise you into the kind of person you should become. So what makes a minister is not just a message. It's a body of training. Like we said yesterday, a curriculum that is both theoretical and practical. All these things are needed to raise a man of God that is thoroughly furnished unto every good works. In ministry, character goes a long way, and character is developed through stringent situations. The quality of being faithful. You'll be faithful over much when you are faithful over little. The fact that you have been trusted with certain things and you saw to it that you did everything you should do. Ministry doesn't start when you have a name to something you are doing. Ministry starts when the opportunity to serve is given. From the day you started serving in your local assembly, you have started your ministry as far as everyone is concerned. Whether where you are serving is the toilet or using the microphone, you are in ministry. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the word ministry used in both that Colossians 4 and 2 Colossians 4 and that is it Colossians 4 we just read now? 2 Timothy 4 also is the word diaconia, which means service. A minister is a trained servant. Let's look at what Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's start reading from verse 1. Ephesians 4, let's start from verse 1. I've not started though. I'm laying foundation for you. When I start, you know. Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. The Bible uses the word vocation, wherewith you are called. I, therefore, the prisoner. You know, I love the way you use the word the prisoner right there. Because your calling must be able to place certain restrictions on your life. Listen. Before you write, let me tell you this. Anytime I see ministers than the calling, they don't do well. If you ever have a greener pasture than your calling, something happened, I can't remember what country. A man of God won a lottery bet. The moment he won the lottery bet, he closed down the church. And said to them that he's sorry, he's been pastoring them because he wants money. My wife sent me another notification yesterday night of a man of God that came all the way from Gambia to have crusade in Nigeria. 3 days crusade, made the people fast. He wasn't fasting. And how did I know? He told them on the final day to gather their phones. That God led them to gather their phones so they could pray without distraction. They were expecting the pastor at the crusade ground. He had taken 52 phones and escaped. Listen to what I'm saying. There are people in ministry that have no business around ministry. They only need to feed their bellies. Once you start, that's why I love that word. I, the prisoner, the work of ministry puts certain restrictions. I have what it takes to relocate outside the country with my family, but I will not because there's an assignment for me. If ministry is not putting restrictions on your mobility, you are not in ministry. It restricts everything. You can no longer do everything like others. If you are a man who have the tendency of seeing greener pastures than ministry, That if something else shows up, you will move on and japa. Then you probably have to investigate again if there is a calling in the first place. Every ministry begins with a calling that is not to be assumed, definitely received, and well interpreted. It is possible to receive the calling, you know you receive something, but you missed the interpretation. And that's where many ministers fail, and many ministries die on arrival. People are saying God said they should go and do with their life what they have not understood. Because they fail to, and when this happens, this is what the mistake they make. They fail to realize there is a time to be called and there is a time to be sent. In between those times, God bets clarity through process. Do you know you can be called and still serving faithfully for years? Because it's not yet time. There is a time for it. There is a time to launch out. Are you following what I'm saying here? How do you say you are devoting your entire life to do something you have not interpreted well? I shared a story, all right, of a man that was met at Elisha. And what happened to him? The man said, God told him, I think in the 90s, either 94 or 96, that his ministry is to go about from state to state, praying for nations. And the man has been doing that, and as the time he was met, he was in rags. Listen to what I'm saying here. People have tried to say this in many ways. I'm going to tell you in simple terms. The end of every calling is glory. It doesn't call people unto shame, but unto glorification. The problem is that we have found a way to justify what is not in place for lack of wisdom. And we use scriptures to endorse them. And anytime you out of pride endorse something that you should rebuke, it will continue. It will continue for such a very long time. If things are not fine, it's fine somewhere else. Never take smallness of the ministry as a proof you are speaking the truth. And many of you grew up from local churches where your minds were bastardized. You need to be re-ironed, washed thoroughly before you are gone, before you are sent back. Somebody told you at a certain point and gave you the impression that once you are doing it right and speaking the truth, crowd won't come. Was Jesus now telling a lie when a whole city will gather to him? What kind of meeting was you operating without microphone? 5,000 were seated. But you have a truth that is greater than Jesus. What you have is anger issues. And a man with that can't gather people. That's why they are not gathered. But you have now believed that it's because you are speaking the truth. You are not telling it in love. Hence the reason why you build and destroy. And no gift of the Spirit, no office have byproduct or side effect. It is not associated with the prophetic that once you are a prophet, you are an angry person. It's a lie. It is not true that once you are an evangelist, you are a truth person. It is a lie. Everybody can learn the basics of excellence and, you know, quality of seasoned speech. You have come raw. Don't remain raw. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very, very important. Sometimes when I see... Can I be very blunt with you? I feel like telling them to off the online stuff. I know people there will say, eh? But let me say this to you. There is a place people can learn ministry, right? Because they have learned there and failed to learn elsewhere. You know that they can't grow. Apologies. I was invited to come and preach. One of the things God does in my life is to help ministries that are old and then somehow they are going down. There's a need to revamp the system. So I do that with many ministries. And 90% of the times I stand there to minister and I look at the people. And I always tell myself, if this ministry will ever survive, it will be for the sake of these three people they are ignoring in front. Who are they? Young people. You have somebody who has been the head of ushering department since 1995. The fellow ushered you in, ushered your mom in on the day of your dedication. You now say that this fellow will master the quality of excellence and how to receive people. No. They will tell you, go and sit down there. Ministry must know how to either recycle or shift men. Recycle means that you can only remain here if you are green in orientation. Many ministers have kept some people in a place for so long for the sake of political correctness. Those people have become the molds killing those ministries. Most of the vibrant churches with vibrant choirs you see all over the world, including from Koza to Desta, none of them have choirs that stay for a year, 2 years without changing. They do auditions every year because there's something called Amasale. Once you are there for a while, you see those who have come, who have formed, they say you have to build bridge. Before you can hold the mic, you have to go and talk to this person. So nobody has any reason to say we have been here for 20 years. They re-audition you again. That you are good last year doesn't mean you are still good now. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Because at a certain point, I'm not going to be emotional with you. I'm just going to give you to you as it is. Are you following what I'm saying here? What is the mandate of the ministry you say you are running? What is the mandate? Write it down. Now, we are going to find out in a minute if you are right or wrong. And I'm going to show you quality of mandate that shows you are correct. What is the mandate of your ministry? Write it down. I'm not going to read anyone. I'm just going to give you the indice. Cover it from your neighbor because they may know when I talk. Write down the mandate of your ministry. Is it possible to hear a wrong mandate? If at certain point you heard wrongly about marriage, you can also hear wrongly about mandate. Can I come again? If at certain point you heard and thought somebody was your wife or your husband, or you found out you were wrong, you can also discover that the mandate you have received is wrong. You will never find out if you were wrong immediately. So write down your mandate. First things first. Every mandate that is not specific in nature is not correct. Listen, so let me show you the ones that are not specific. God has said we should go and raise believers. That's a wrong mandate. Now talk to me. You are quiet. God has said I should go and raise believers with the word. Okay, you want to add word. It's still wrong. God has said I should go and preach the gospel to the nations. That's a general assignment. You are still wrong. Mandate has to be clear. You have not been sent to everyone. Those you have been sent to will be highlighted in the instructions of the mandate. It will be clear, specific, narrowed down. Don't adjust it, don't patch it. If you discover now that what you have written doesn't meet this criteria, go and ask God if you actually heard him at all. Say, what do I do if I'm in ministry? Stop the ministry now. I said, it has ash. Yes, it is. There's no reward for a wrong job. If you have a garage that can only take a car, how do you keep it there and trust him for a better one? You empty it. And it is not every calling that they tap full time. Like that man that said that God says go and pray for nations. His children will grow hating God and hating ministry. Now, let's think about it. Somebody just come here and they say, Pastor, so good to see you, sir. I'm a missionary. God has sent me to come and pray in the Ibadan. So we're going to raise an altar for Somalia. I look at Somalia in the context of where I am in the calling of God now. I say, Somalia is not an instruction that's popped up in my radar. Before you know it, you go to different churches and all that. They have their specific assignment, get offended, and say the body of Christ don't like missionaries. Why? You did not interpret and understand in context. There is a body of wisdom needed to carry it out. You failed at it if you don't interpret it well. So many people are running with visions, mandates that they cannot interpret. They heard something. And that's why you must understand the place of help and accountability. Do you understand what I'm saying? I thought I heard something. Let me say this to you, and I need to, let me break a table. It is not true that your calling will be obvious. That is, we look at the way you are made up, then we can also deduce your calling. It's not true. It is not going to always be obvious. And sometimes, your area of calling might be the area of the area you give least emphasis to. You must understand that. Because once you understand the instructions of the assignment, you can function in the anointing for it. There is a toolkit given to every minister with which they can actualize their calling. There are things I do effortlessly. Are you following what I'm saying? Not because I am special, but because I have been graced in this area. One of the ways you know you've got the mandate wrong is that you are doing it with the energy of the flesh. You'll notice it looks like there's no supply from heaven to back it up. Every time you fulfill your mandate, there should be a joy nobody can pay for. Every time you fulfill it. And that's why I'm very skeptical about the ministries and programs I honor. Sometimes people are gathered and all that. And they say, we want to bring for a program. I ask, what is this program about? Is it something that gives me the avenue to fulfill part of the reason why God has called me? If it doesn't, call another minister who is graced for that. And let me say this, particularly to those of you who are in itinerant ministry. You have to deal with this fact. The body of Christ does not invite you because you are sound. They call you because you are trending. There is still a level of worldliness that is in those who invite people. That they check for ministers who can help them gather crowd. And they will come to you and say, God said. If you don't spend your time building the work he has given you, you will spend your time servicing the pride and lies in people's hearts. You would have done ministry for years on different flyers only to discover you have built nothing. The future of ministry is not for those who are preaching about. It's for builders. The future of ministry is for builders. I can take you through church history in Nigeria that will humble you. Years back, many ministers who have toured this country and shake everywhere all down, upside down. But at the end of the day, the ministries that will stand out are those who patiently waited to build. So never rate your importance by the number of invitations you receive. Never rate your importance by the number of invitations you receive. Never rate your importance by the quality of invitations. Oh, I wish I can start having these platforms too. No. If you sit down with what God has given to you and you build it well, there is no platform that will not desire to bring you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sit down with your work. Sit down. Sit down. If what God has given you are 10 people, sit on them. Sit with them. Teach them the word. Help them to pray. Build. You can't build by proxy. You have to sit down and build. See to it that you fulfill your ministry. The responsibility to fulfill your ministry is not on God, it's on you. Meaning that, let me take it a step further. It means what we see in your ministry now is not God's doing alone. It's your doing also. The level that your ministry is, don't put it on God. You know what Anna said? She said, God has restrained me from having a child. That was the mistake of the Old Testament. Whenever something happened, they will say, God has brought this. They will say, God has brought that. And as long as you are thinking like that, you have gotten the theology of divinity wrong. You've gotten that theology and you're going to make several. So the devil will now have a free ground to operate, to destroy, to reduce, to cut down. Because he knows that your conclusion is God is doing this. Are you following what I'm saying? Every ministry begins with a mandate, ends up looking like your mindset. It looks like your mind. The ministry will take the posture of the way you think. The vibrancy we see in the ministry will be a reflection of your level of diligence. Every trait magnified in the ministry are your secret traits. You must understand that. The anointing flows from the head to the beard, then the skirt. If you have issues with rebellion always, check your posture towards God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, in ministry, you will always have certain issues. I'm going to talk about that some other time. But once this becomes every time. Can I say a few things to you? You know, one time. See, one thing about me is that I think a lot. And I think the right stuffs. So people talk to me and say this. I'm going to sit down and investigate. What is this thing you are telling me? It must work. As you are telling me, I must be seeing confirmation that it's working for you. If not, I'm going to shut down. And I'm thinking, let me give you an instance. You attend a minister's, a church of a, probably you're a first timer in a church or something, or you are attending a local church, and you discovered that every time your pastor holds the microphone to preach, there's somebody he's talking to. There's somebody he planned to flog. He sort of flogged somebody with Koboko, brought it to church. And everywhere after the message, there's no joy, there's offense. Everybody's down. Such church can't grow. But there are scriptures such pastors use to justify it. that we are preaching the truth. So they don't like us. And you see, those moments you are saying those things under those emotions, you can say a lot of things. I don't care if this generation does not like me. I don't care. The generation God sent you to. The generation God sent you to. You don't care. You must care. It matters. You must care. And I sat down to check. One time I sat down. I said, you know, anybody who knows me knows how much I love and follow Pastor Poju. And I said, is it that in this church, they don't used to offend this pastor? They used to offend him. I watch Pastor here at the boy. Is it that they don't used to offend Baba? You know what they do to that man? They used to offend him. How come we can't hear it in the message? Maybe, of course, when you go to their minister's meeting, then you now hear them dealing with real issues, which I've been to. So you can, yeah. The pastor Kisi Akilume just comes to the other one day and say, today I'm just so angry with your church. I'm just so angry. And Jesse, you won't grow. And the devil times it in such a way that the future of the ministry is around the corner that day. It is when many ministers get to heaven that they will know what they have lost. Let me begin to break this down now. This is the word to you, like it was sent to Archippus. See to it that you fulfill your ministry. See to it. Make sure it is your responsibility. It is your duty. It is your duty. It is your duty. Not just to do your ministry. No. He didn't say do your ministry. He said fulfill it. Jesus did not come to do the law. He fulfilled the law. That is, he gave it everything he demanded. It's your duty. Some of you are doing ministry. You are not fulfilling ministry. Don't just do ministry. Fulfill the ministry. Fulfill the ministry. Fulfill the ministry. Fulfill the ministry. So you need to understand the ministry. Then you now need to understand beyond doing it. To making sure there is no part of the instruction that is not carried out. To make sure, listen to this. When it comes to fulfilling ministry, there are threefold. Number one, there is no part of the instruction that is not carried out. Number two, there is no potential of the calling that is not explored. Can I give you number three? And this number three is the major one the devil fights the most. There is no reach of the ministry that is not covered. That is, your ministry has certain circumference or certain geographical space or certain demography. It must cover. What the devil wants to do, and can I show you this? Look up. What the devil wants to do as touching that is to, he wants to peg you as part of a clique. You are a Paul. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, you are a Peter. You started out with the Jews, but now God is bringing you to the Gentiles. The devil wants to give you a nomenclature. I'm for the Jews. I belong to the revival movement. And people even assume the screams. And once they assume the stream, they start talking like the screams they have assumed. What I'm bold to tell you now is that you don't even know your streams yet. Do the work for a while. It will be clear. Just do ministry. Don't do streams. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. If you don't even understand what title you should wield, whether an apostle, prophet, or pastor, do ministry. The ministry will make it obvious. Don't start out and just say, I am this. And then you will have to maintain that in pride. Just do the work of the ministry. Start doing what God has said you should do. Do it at every level you find the opportunity to do it. Don't go and look for streams and say, I belong to Paul or I belong to Apollos. Because you must understand that as you live, there are different facets of ministry you come into. There might be a season that what you are doing is teaching. Another season come, what you have entered is the prophetic. Another season come, what you have entered is this. Forget about the nonsense and the things people tell you that you are going to be wanting. It's a lie of the devil. So the idea is this, where your flexibility stops, your assignment stops. You just keep doing the things you have said you believe. And God will have to move on and give another person the same anointing. And they will be doing the same work. Why? Because you could not fasten yourself to his chariot. So to fill your ministry, you're going to humble yourself a lot of times over. You'll have to humble yourself and bend your back. And realize that part of fulfilling may be you doing the things you have spoken against. When our ministry started as a Bible study and a discipleship ministry, Friends of the World, I do tell them we can never become a church. That's one of the worst level of foolishness I've seen myself execute. How do I say we can never? How do you put never to what you don't know? It's simple to say we are not a church. Say, will you ever become a church? I don't know. And you must have many I don't know answers because you actually don't know. I even went as far as saying, if we ever become, say we are becoming a church, leave. So somebody left. And I say, why would you do this? Say, you are the one that said we should leave. What you know is what you have received yet. Let me say this to you. Can I even help you with this? No mandate is received once. Let me explain. So even if you say our mandate is this, to bring deliverance, blah, 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 blah. It looks complete. But as you mature and you are given to time, certain clauses will be highlighted. It becomes clearer with time, with practice and exposure. So you will never receive the fullness of it until you start in the first place. Do you understand what I'm saying? And once you start, understand that you are limited in the scope. And keep trusting God for more. Let me give you an example. My understanding of going to raise God's end time army, when God told me that, is different from my understanding of raising end time army now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we still raising the armies? Yes. But the quality of them will increase as my understanding increases. Now, let me say this to you. One of the ways to fulfill your ministry is that your body of message reflects the mandate. Stop spending time outside the calling. This one is not just teaching. I will have to train in this area. So I will not just say it in passing. Let me explain what I'm saying. What is the tool that distinguishes ministries from ministries? Apart from the mandate, what distinguishes ministry from ministry? It's their emphasis. What's their emphasis? Their message. What's the tool you are expected to fulfill with in ministry? Your message. What makes the difference between what we do in Sphere of Light Church and what they do in Redeem? The message. What informs the message? The mandate. So, what I'm saying is, your mandate determines your message. And write that down so I can now tell you the bottom part. Are you with me? Now look up. Once you have received the mandate, that is the general mandate of the house. It means that it is not an apostolic template if you have associate pastors who have different mandate. You can't tell me that God has said we should raise God's entire armies. You now say your own mandate in this commission is to raise worshippers. No, you won't preach. You will not have the privilege From the day I find out, the process to stop the fellow around the altar begins with immediate effect. So you what you see? And that's why you can enter some churches. And I'm not, this is not a derogatory way. I'm going to use different names. You go to a church, one of the branches looks like Christ Embassy. The same church. You go to another place, another branch looks like Seventh Day Adventists. The same church. You go to another branch, looks like Celestia. The same church. Another branch looks like CAC. The same church. Another branch looks like this. Why? Deliberate attempt to make sure the mandate and the execution is equal in quality has been stopped. If Coke can have the same taste all over the country, your ministry should have the same feel. If Coke can maintain the same taste, the same quality, why should ministry not? What happens is that you do not have quality control measures. What happens is that you don't have a definite syllabus raising the quality of these men. And sometimes you have placed the syllabus on the hands of men who are wrong. So I went to a Bible college, and the man who was taking us was sleeping while teaching. And I said, when people are done with this Bible college, they will go for ordination under a sleeping preacher. The church has taken time to write down all those things, but a wrong man is taking it. You listen, can I beg you this? You want to be sure that your best hands are in charge of raising the next generation. Listen to this. Not your best preachers. Sometimes the mistake people make is that they give the best preachers. No. Best hands. Best hands are not best preachers, but they release best quality. But it is the quality of their spirit that rubs off. Anywhere we are planting church, I don't think about who is vibrant. I think about who has carried my spirit. What God will put on Sphere of Light Church is already in me. It takes somebody growing under that hand. And that's why in Sphere of Light Church, we don't have a structure. This is what I'm saying. No matter where you are coming from and the exploits you have done, we will retrain you here. Do you understand what I'm saying? How come you can work at Fidelity Bank for 10 years and join Access Bank and they train you for Access Bank? But you are a church that somebody has served somewhere else, but they come here and immediately the assistant pastor. A bank can be wise, but church is not. So one of the first assignments you want to do as a minister, understand the mandate. Build the template that raised the men. That might be for those who are already in active ministry. It will say, now there are statements that were simple statements that saved our ministry from headache. And I say this with all humility. As much as I hate to see men go, there is also a deliberate attempt to make sure that there are immediate replacement through training. So we train, even if there's no assignment for them, we keep training more. It's better to have people on reserve than for the field to be empty. If football team will have a replacement for everyone on the team. I don't want to say some things because we have different people listening. Maybe at closer platform, I'm going to say a few things. To fulfill the ministry, you must insist that you are building according to the pattern shown to you. You must insist. Listen to what I'm saying. You must insist. You must be hard on yourself. You must be hard on yourself. Ministers, be hard on yourself. Be hard on yourself. You want to make sure that you yourself becomes a correct template. If what you want to see is diligence, your life preaches it. If what you want to see is holiness, your life preaches it. If it is prayer, your life demonstrates it. Having done that and gotten it right, you want to also insist that the quality of men leading the work with you are also men who work with the template. I tell our pastors that what I want exists and it is possible. Some of them may feel, why is it that sometimes apostles is just, it's being hard on us. It's this and that. We will be till the template is bettered. Let me ask you a question. Okay. Thank God. Where's Dr. Wayne? Okay. We have a few of you here who are doctors. Okay, we have nurses and all that. But please be seated. Imagine a situation where you are handling a patient and you made some mistakes and the patient died. What happens during what round? You face the consequence. They will analyze every situation, analyze every issue. If they can do this in the hospital, how much more ministries that take charge of the souls of men? That you will not sit down, analyze, what are we doing? I beg pastors, as long as you feel the ministry is small and that's all you are doing, don't work from home. Because you'll just be sleeping and waking up. Put yourself under stringent condition. If at most, have an office in your house. Have an office there. I walk around the clock. And my wife will always tell me, if you give anybody your schedule, they will think you hate them. Are you following what I'm saying here? You've got to be hard on yourself. Ministry is not for men who are sleeping. It is a work. It is a work. I was speaking with a friend of mine, and he said a statement that rattled me. He said, you cannot be working lesser than those who are tossing God for their mantle. He said, you know the fathers are going. You know the fathers are going. How can the generation who is trusting God for their mantle be sleeping? The fathers are not tired. You look at Pastor W.F. Kumui, he's walking around the clock. Pastor Hiya Adeboye, 80, walking 80 plus, walking around the clock. These men are in their 80s. Bishop Adeboye is a walking machine. You see a young man in his 20s, sleeping in the afternoon, watching Netflix series. You don't know what you are losing. That at the time the template and the grace to spread it further, to get it deeper, should be released. You were caught doing nonsense. Ministry works when men work and cooperate with God. Ministry is a vocation. You have a part to play. A very serious part. A stringent role. So I went to meet one of my mentors before leaving for Abuja. And I went to meet him and I said, so this is what the Lord is saying, sir. And I said, but I want to ask you a question. I said, I observed that every branch of this church that I go to, your workers look alike. It's the same quality at every branch. First things first, let me just say this to you. You cannot have the same quality of workers at every branch if you don't have the same quality of ministers. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they are the ones, if you have somebody who is leaking, everybody will leak. And that's the truth. There's no emotions about it. That is the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, how do you do it? And I said, let me narrow down my question. What raises men? Is it the quality of the message? Or the quality of the men's heart? He looked at me and said, none of the above. I said, sir. He said, none of the above. He said, don't overrate your message. It is powerful, but don't overrate it. He said, what really raises men of quality is structure. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you may preach based on what you feel, but the structure is consistent. Before you become a minister in this church, these are the structure. You go through so-and-so-and-so training. You go through so-and-so-and-so training. The curriculum has been built, particularly for intelligent ministers who want to preach curriculum from your head always. Your laziness will rub off and kill the work. Take the pain, sit down and build manuals. Every year I build manuals. There's no manual I used to teach that is from my head. Every year I'm building departmental manuals. I took some of our leaders on retreat last year. You think we just break into a new year? And everything we are doing in a new year is planned out, discussed and planned. We are coming to the new year to execute. Discussed, planned. I used to do it alone. I get into Daniel fast. I tell my wife, what you only bring to me at the hotel is so and so and so and so thing. I'm okay with it till I return back home. All right? And they bring that every night. I'm very fine till I return. And I begin to press, begin to check. What have we done? What have we not done right? In those days, I'll begin to chat up members that had joined the church not too long. What do you think we should adjust in this church?
What do you see? Ask questions. Sit down. Watch people have been learning from. The light. Bam. It is work. It is work. It is work. It is work. We have our Sphere of Light Leadership Academy going on at the moment. Because we discovered that there were certain loopholes. And when you see loopholes, have a curriculum that fills it. Not a message, a curriculum. We began to see loopholes. And I hear strange things sometimes. How do you have a ministry where every time we are going in a direction, somebody can just stand up and say, actually, this is not like this. Some people are saying this. Saying that among both those who are learning and those who are not. We can't continue. This fellow doesn't know something. There's a need to do more than saying it. We need to realize that the type of this person, this fellow is not a bad person, but this fellow doesn't know much. The type will come every season. So there's a need to have a curriculum that takes care of that type. The problem with teaching is that you are dealing with a person and an issue. Curriculum deals with the type. It settles it across all generations. Oh, this. We observe that we have a case where workers are fighting. It doesn't happen here. It can't happen here. You are gone. Workers are fighting with themselves, abusing their leaders. Something is wrong. Don't just correct the worker. See that their type are still there. We have not fought. Ministry is work. It is for laborers who are ready to take responsibility for every part. You know, there are pastors who don't write messages. they don't write anything. They just come. And as the wind carry them, just start speaking. That's pride. That's pride. And such a man cannot be trusted with much more. Because you are not faithful over little. That's pride. It takes pride to appear before God's people unprepared. And some even conduct ordination without fasting. Where have you learned from? It's work. Now what we do in Sphere of Light Church, and I'm not using Sphere of Light as a template, I'm just sharing examples, is that across all our branches, we teach the same thing on Sundays. Everywhere. We have a review on Saturday night. We pray after the review. Every resident pastor joins the review. We discuss what we are going to teach. You can't get to church on Sunday and say you feel like teaching something else. This is Sphere of Light Church, but that is in Ife, or in Abeokuta, in Ibadan or Abuja. The idea is that it is still Sphere of Light Church. The same curriculum must feed everyone. Not that some people are going up, some people are going down. Mm-mm. Same thing. But different men will handle it different ways. Because they have developed themselves to different capacity. Capacity will always reflect. It is not just about anointing. What you have built will show. It will show. So as a minister, you want to labor. Let me show you a scripture. Act of the Apostles, chapter number 6 from verse 1. Act 6:1. I'm giving you a template to fulfill your ministry. Act 6:1. Quickly. Now look at this. And in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Now these are their widows. Because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Yes. And the twelve called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, meaning that the 12 at first had a meeting. They've concluded that the reason we're having this problem is because we are doing this. It is not a reason that we should leave the world and serve at tables. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Look up, pastors. Let me give this advice. I'm going to give it once. In fact, if you didn't hear well the first time, I will not repeat it. As the ministry grew, get out of counseling. All right? Say it is not a reason for us to leave the world and serve at tables. Let me tell you the reason why I said what I said. Once you are the counselor and the preacher, you can no longer preach freely by the Spirit. They will say it is what you have counseled them upon that you are preaching with. You don't need to know too much. Paul said, I didn't know anything amongst you save Christ and Him crucified. People will be offended because you said so, and you said it by the Spirit. They said, no, he has said. Moses praying would have died unless Jethro came. You must understand. Sometimes it is not spiritual men that will save your ministry, it is professionals. Those who understand management, who understand leadership, who understand account, how it works, who can sit with it. And let me say this to you. You want to destroy the work? Be the all in all. You want the ministry to die? Be the all in all. What will happen is that the ministry will be strong where you are strong and weak where you are weak. What I want to do is to find out quality of men who are stronger than I am. I noticed in our ministry that I lack what it, and I'm saying this without any out of anything, I don't have what it takes to manage the Gen Z's well, the way I should. And when God said it's time to manage them, I look amongst the men. Who is speaking their language? God speak to me. And I prayed about several names and God said, send him. Men, and I'm telling you this with all humility. I look at their pictures on Sundays. I look at their pictures, the way they're excited that they are wearing their jeans, their everything, taking pictures. I said, if I'm the one pastoring this guy, some of them would have left. You must accept it. So that there is continuity even where you are weak. God has not called you to prove you are the best. He has not. Don't be under such pressure. As a leader, you are a broker of gifts and talent. Find men who can do it. Train them. That's the one they don't have. Give them that one. So they can do it for long. I don't have time to show you the compulsory ingredient in every training. But make sure you give them training. So they can go and then get it done. The proof that you have trained them is that they will not be lifted in pride. Can I sing? I can't. If I have to sing, they will have to quickly join me because I can go off. I can't play the keyboard. One time like that, I was the keyboardist in the family house. I don't even know how they cope. And when I try, I say, how did they even? No wonder they were not dancing. Tawa, 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 tawa. So God says, I want to say some things, but. You know, sometimes you are careful. It's not just about speaking the truth. It's also about who you are giving it to. By people who are not ready for certain body of knowledge. So, to fulfill the work, focus your attention only on what you cannot delegate. Any other thing should be delegated. It is not a reason for us to leave the word and serve at tables. So let's look amongst us, men who can do those things. So we will give ourselves only to what? Prayer. And to the ministry of the word. In fact, if you are not given to these two things, your spirit will become so damp that you will lose your cutting edge. You'll be struggling. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are given to prayers. Why do we pray before we teach? That's a sign of humility. That I do not have the directions and all the corners the word must accurately touch. I need to pray so that I can be subjected under the influence of the Spirit more. I speak by Him and get more done under His influence. That's why we pray. And that's why we do it for long. Are you following what I'm saying? You pray till you are fired up. There's going to be a lot of demonic clusters. There will be demonic activities in the ministry as long as you are not praying. Jesus told Peter, the devil has desired you, but I prayed for you. So you are going to be having issues. The devil has desired. You begin to pray. Why? Listen. Why did he not say the same thing to Judas? Because at that point, Judas was one with the temptation. Let me say this to you. Let me explain. The people you can rescue are those who are not one with the test. The devil is bringing a temptation of betrayal and rebellion and all those things. Anyone who, through process of growth in their heart, have been aligning to become one with it, now they are inseparable from that spirit. There's nothing you can do. All you have to do is to tell them that which you want to do, do it quickly. But those that have a separate heart, but they're under influence, you can bring them out. I know what I've said is not for you. So, when you get to the field, you to play back. Do you understand what I'm saying? We give ourselves to what? Prayer. And to what? The ministry of the word. I said to you that your mandate determines your message. Hear me. So what mistakes are people making now? They are preaching the message of another man who has another mandate. Once you know the mandate, you have to labor for the message to jump out. You will labor. I'm telling you, you will search the scriptures. You will search the scriptures. Now you are searching in line with that mandate. There is a body of message that must produce the quality of people God has said I should go and raise. There is a body of message that must meet the needs of the people God has said I should go and meet. Guess what? Your mandate also determines your programs. Meaning that you don't just put programs on ground. It must align. Why do we have this program? It has nothing to do with the mandate. You just say, I'm just going to have it. The choir of this church have not been able to. But thank God now every branch, they can do their stuff. There are things that are for the community of the church. Church community. They can say, we want to have choir concert. Maybe they're even happy now. Say, thank God. I'm just furious now. Choir concert 2023. But you cannot have the choir concert and say, we are bringing apostles. Have your choir concert, you have your resident pastor. Let him bless you. Coming from Abuja down to Ibadan, I've not come for choir concert. I've come for apostolic meetings. Every teaching. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every time I spend a moment with you, it must look like 10 compressed in one. Why am I an apostle? The day the oil came on my head, I said I will live worthy of this calling. And I knew at that point there are certain things I can't write online again. So I say, I'm coming all the way. What are you coming to do? We're having choir concert. We're having children rally. We're having this. No. That is for the church community. That is for the local church. That's for the family system. There is something for the spiritual system. That is where I focus. That's where I sit. I tell the pastors, do ground game. Give me air control. Do ground game. Give me air control. I need hair. Every branch will grow without me being there. You know the revival happening in different branches right now? So how many weeks have you spent with us in the West? I was getting a report from one of our branches. The people are praying effortlessly. I've not even stepped there. Give me air control. You know what air control is? Leave me alone. Let me pray. Air control. That you can be in a branch, but your spirit is hovering. Your spirit is hovering. Rakabalaka, edukubalate, igombe tikombalakaya. Air control. No nation can be called world power without air control. In fact, what makes you powerful is the air control. When you see the programs we are having, PPC, that's air control. It's air control. That's why the gadgets follow me where I move. Because I need to be in the air. Pastor, air control. I don't want to overemphasize this. I don't want to overemphasize it. There's nothing I can do if you won't get it. He said, let's leave ground game. Serving food, do all those things. Let's leave it. By now, we should have guys who are powerful enough to do it. Leave me to control the air. Because the message that feed bulk of the people is coming from you. So you want to be without distraction. You want to focus on it. The quality of programs. In fact, the kind of programs. There are programs that are not necessary. When you see the program and see the mandate, you know the man is ignorant. Because how will the program not add to the mandate? Look at what programs do we have. We don't have too many programs in Spirit of Life Church. Festival of Life, that's our anniversary. International Ministers Conference, that's to raise ministers. International School of Ministry, that's to raise ministers. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every other meeting, apostolic programs and all that. We don't have too much programs. We don't come up with programs for coming sick. There are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, let me tell you, at a level, at a certain point, when we're friends of the world, blah, blah, somebody's having birthday. Pastor, I want to come for my birthday. I too will go there. So, what do you have to say about celibate? So, she's a good person. We bless God for her. You can't continue that and fulfill the mandate. At another level, and they start maturing, you stop by day. They are getting wedded. Alright? So we have to be on ground to wed you. You can't continue that. That's not the mandate. That's a local church work. When there are... I don't want to say this statement because people may not say, so this person, no. There are a few cases of those who are pastors and ministers and you can be on ground and you must be on ground to join them. Then you do those ones. Because these are people who have leadership over different people also. Okay? But you can't do everything. You begin to shed the work. Oh, naming ceremony. Only Papa can come and name the child. It's not true. If you believe in this ministry, you must believe in the leadership. You must take time to build that. It will not happen in a day. The first set of people will be offended, but don't stop. That they are offended doesn't mean what you are doing is wrong. They've just not changed. They've not mastered the culture. It is a culture we all must adjust to. Do you understand what I'm saying? In Spirit of Life Church on Tuesday, no matter how big and how powerful your church is, you all gather to watch me on screen. Say, how can I come and then watch on screen? Blah, blah, blah. That is the culture. Deeper Life has been doing for years. They've not died. Say, you don't be like Saul. Say, the people were leaving, so we change. No. The right people will come. We'll continue. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Ministry cannot be done without conviction. Everything you do is from that depth of conviction. You are not fighting as one beating the hair. You are convinced we should be doing this at this time. We are not guessing. We are not playing around and trying to see what's going on. No, I am convinced. This is the exact meeting we should be having now. And you can't have conviction if you don't have a secret place. No. Once the devil has siphoned you from the secret place, we'll see it by the way you are dancing around. That's where you go and come back with the template received. The template to build with. The template to operate with. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? No matter the pressure in ministry, I tell my wife, give me time. Let me enter the house. Give me 2 hours. Give me 3 hours. I will come back. We'll have the answer. What am I doing? Searching the heart of God. And what's the template for entering that place? Make sure you don't have a decision. Because once you have one, you come back and say, God said. And you come out faster. Because when the devil sees that you are in error, he'll give you a sense of satisfaction. After 3 minutes, you are saying, oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory. Say, so what do you say? I have peace in my heart. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Mean that the world can give a supply of peace even in prayer. We pray for long so we can test the waters. Stop organizing programs anyhow. Every program must be an initiative by God to help you fulfill that mandate. The programs must help fulfill the mandate. The programs must help fulfill the mandate. The programs must help fulfill the mandate. Go and check any program I'm doing. It has to do with the raising men. And when it pleased God, God said, I want you to have healing crusade. Oh, yes. No problem. If we have to raise men, they have to be whole. No problem. But the major focus is to raise God's end time armies. That's it. And how do I raise the end time armies? Through my teachings, through my trainings, through my programs. Through my teachings, through my trainings, through my programs. Those are the tools. And what is the force that unifies these three tools? The message. See, once you are teaching from your head, you don't even have a message. The mandate must influence the message. Now, let me calm down. Let me stop preaching now. Let me now give you stuff. Listen to what I'm saying. There are two kind or two approach to messages. Number one is prophylaxis treatment. Prophylaxis in the sense that you are curing something before it happens. You are dealing with possibilities. Number two is curative. Something is going bad and there's a need to deal with it. Please look up. Every minister and minister must understand these two approach. You know, and let me say this to you, and I think it calls for us to be happy, but there's still more work to be done. When I came back, since I came back from Abuja, and I went to Lagos, came to Ibadan, I'm going to be in Ife next week, came back, and I began to look at the same people. And I was looking at the changes. Not just spiritual growth, but in all aspects of their lives, in their finance and all that. The same people that have wept before God. I remember one of my boys. I met him at the toilet post. He was in sanitation. I said to him, what do you do? Are you a graduate? He said, yes. I said, what do you do? He said, nothing. What can you do? He said, he doesn't know. What have you learned? He said, nothing. I said, I want to help you. What? He said, nothing. What is this? While we were praying, I was praying in a retreat before the year. One of the things God gave me as a template, have community groups. It will help you. All right? Let people have community that they relate and all that. So, I went to learn from Covenant community groups. Try reaching out, get some, a few things. Now, hear what I'm saying. I noticed, and what happened was that I observed with pain in my heart that something was wrong. Almost everybody in church was satisfied with not having. And who can come and say they have a dealing that they should not be working now? For this to be happening generally, there's a message producing it. So I saw that the message producing it was that I was talking so much about the way God quarantined me for some years. As I was saying it, people were getting voice of the environment. That even the ones who were making money would come and say, God said they should stop. So I changed my message, started teaching audacity, apostle in marketplace, and it produced them. I'm saying that the type of message can change the type of people. It is deliberate. You are curing something. It may be that your message created it before, but now you are curing it. And guess what? These guys are all doing fine now. One of my daughters sent me the pay slip. She moved from earning 20,000. To earning 400 something thousand. People that move from earning 50,000 to earning 5 million. What changed? The message. So you know that there are examples you don't give because you don't want people to be like this. You check it. You come around. What you see is produced by what you are saying. Accept the fault. Can I tell you again? What you are seeing is produced by what you are saying. The day you decide mediocrity will die, that's the day you start dying. The day you look at all of them and say, this one is broke, that one is down, this one is that. What is happening? Enough is enough. You start getting the message that ends it. Go and check my messages. Go and check. Workers' meeting, I would preach and deal with laziness. I will deal with lack of ability to keep relationships. These were the problems we're seeing. It was not enough to cry in the secret place. The tears must translate to a message. Were some offended? Yes. Some even got angry and left. It doesn't matter. I'm convinced about this. A people must be born from this. We will not stop because you don't understand. We'll keep teaching it till it comes out. And get what I'm saying. One of the ways to really emphasize on the message is to preach the same thing with different topics. I preach Apostle in Marketplace 3 times. Go and find out. 3 times. The same template. The same for different topics. And the same people will say, Keep saying it till they see it. How do you deal with lack in the ministry? Stop justifying it. Stop. Let me tell you something. Last year, I had to make painful sacrifices. I had to sacrifice 2 of my cars, SUVs. And I had to move from doing that to taking Uber. And one of those nights, you know, when we sacrifice, we're excited. Oh, thank God for the prayer. I can do that. One of those nights, hear this. The Holy Ghost just said to me, you know, sacrifice is good. I said, yes. But do you know that? Should I say what I want to say? Because it will deal with religion. He said, do you know that each time you will reduce the sophistication that comes with your level, you destroy your people? There is a sophistication you must embrace. It is compatible with the level. It is not luxury. It is needed for that level. While I understand between myself and God that you see the fellow Uber bringing me to church, God is saying I would have done much more. If those cars, as beautiful as they are, intact, and I provide for my church. And that's when the Holy Spirit now told me that. You want to hear this? You want to hear this? Borrowing money to do ministry is the same effect as borrowing church your money. Both is borrowing. It's the same thing. Just master how God supplies. You can't help God. You can't. It's the same thing. God is saying that, listen, my work, do it my way. It is not supposed to put you in strange situations. Do it my way. Pastors, there are sophistication that should come with your levels. See, people preach different things. You must understand those whose message is not for you. It's not for you. If you fail to embrace it, at that point, what God should be doing in their lives, using you as a template, will not be done. I want to say a few more things, but all of them will damage some things. Maybe I'm going to control how this message gets out. Will I say this? God help me. Let me say it. As a minister, every part of you is needed to grow the people, including your mind. I'm going to give an example of what I'm saying. So you want to make sure, we are not saying break bank. But I'm saying that if you want to raise certain quality of people, there's a quality of environment you must be in to think like that. You are the one who likes to live in ghetto. You cannot raise people who will be world changers from there. I called a meeting, an emergency meeting, about the attempt to change certain things in our school of ministry. And we had faculty meeting. All right? And I had to state at the faculty meeting that there are examples we will not accept in our school of ministry. Because we are raising men from different countries. They don't know different places in Nigeria. Don't mention them. And there are courses we have to take out because they are not relevant for different nations. Talk about being deliberate. If those things were not stopping, we're going to change lecturers. It can raise people in Ibadan, not those in Canada. What I'm saying, and check this now. Raise your children in ghetto. It will be difficult for you to get them to think straight. It is wickedness on God's people to have a bad environment. You'll be offended and angry every time because what you are seeing is bad. Pastor, you are talking as though you are not a man who has gone through process. Yes, I have. But the quality of men I'm raising now is not the quality I raised then. Don't let anybody speak you. See, you know, in the body of Christ, there's plenty of emotions. People talk and... shh. Observe. Observe. You are the pastor who is doing Zoom meeting. And the environment you are doing Zoom meeting from, we can see the wall. There's charcoal there. You are trying... No, listen, this even affects the finance of the church. Nobody can give to the church more than what they feel the church is already handling. Nobody gives to the church what you need. They look at you and believe you are handling this, then they give you at that level. Maybe I'm speaking to a few people. You want to make sure. So, listen to this. I love God's people so much, my environment must reflect what they should become. The kind of house I live, and I will not steal church money. I will not break banks. No. And that's why I would just say this. I'm not going to emphasize because that's not my teaching. If time permits, I want to have the people I'm going to have my last session with are ministers. And that's early Monday morning before I release you to go. That's why I want to deal with the issue of finance. Practical. Let me say this to you. Lack is not what attracts money. It is not because you lack it, that's why people will give it to you. No. As a matter of fact, people give more to those who have. Listen, you will elongate your journey in the wilderness as long as you despise excellence. You will struggle for a while till the day sense dawns on you. Pastor Christian Akilome was saying three advice he's going to give to pastors who want to build vibrant ministry. I was shocked at the three advice. He said, number one, have a very powerful prayer life. Prayer and word life. Have a very powerful prayer and word life. That's the advice he was giving. He said, number two, have good sound system. Messages recorded from phone cannot change the world. Because they will not even hear it. It is good at a level, bad for the future. When we're going to Abuja to commence work, we spend tens of millions. Now, there are decisions I've come to make. Okay? There are decisions I've come to make. Now, this meeting, for instance, I have my decision for outside the meeting. Particularly as related to finance. I notice that where there is wisdom, there will be abundance. So, I told the people, we are not going to gather anybody. What happens when people are going for sons, daughters, mentees conference is that they believe their father has called them to collect money from their hands. No way. What can we do? And I began the process that will initiate everything for this meeting before the year began. Here is one fact I want to show you. The moment people feel is about their pocket, something will start going wrong. You need wisdom from God to tap down provisions in a way that nobody will mock God. I personally hate disdain towards the things of the kingdom. So I don't like to go learn this. I've taught you. The day I will teach giving, so you know where you want to learn giving, go and listen to my lesson from Cain and Abel. Practical giving, simple, basic, balanced giving. I thought that. I think before I left for Abuja, was it earlier this year? But you know that when he's seeking us to give, it's not because he wants to pay his rent. What vision did we enter this year with to raise and to attract high-impact believers? What is the general mandate? Raise God's end-time armies. What are we doing this year to raise and to attract high-impact? It's going to affect everything I teach. Let me say this to you. Now, I'm just going to say it once. I was speaking to my friends, and he said to me, he said, listen, he said, Apostle, he said, I've listened to you. He said, doctrine, check, everything, you're good. He said, once you notice that the message is excellent, you must spend almost equal to your rent in pushing it. I think I've lost you. Let's pray. Let me say this to you. Avoid doing videos when your environment is not right. Only a fool markets the weakness. Okay? Labor on getting it right. Why? You want to get this across to as many people as possible. Let me even give you a wisdom. The reason I'm careful is because the body of Christ, there are people. Somebody can just say, hey, we don't mind them. What he was teaching them is cannot, you see, and they don't know. They don't know. So you have to say this among those who see real hunger and they are doing the work. There are people who are not getting the result and they are not interested. Are you following what I'm saying? There are level of provisions that has come to our ministry just because somebody stumbled on their message on YouTube. What you want to do is to get the message where people can easily access it. Myself and one of my friends were talking. He said, God asked him, check. Which ministry have the materials you can assess that grows the body of Christ? He mentioned this, we assess their material, we agree with this, we agree with that, we agree with that. Then God asked him, which ministries are the biggest ministries in Nigeria? As he checked, he saw the same ministry. What does that tell you? Nobody lights a lamp, put under a bushel, If the message is powerful, get it across. Let me say this to you. There are meetings I said I may never be able to attend. Because I feel when they talk to ministers, they do more of giving managerial courses. But as I got the spiritual right, I saw I began to feel at the management. I needed it. So I started availing myself to them. See, everybody talk at their level. If you are not wise, keep quiet. Because you may be around what you are saying. If you say the message of this person doesn't bless you, it may be that you are not at the level you should. Not that the message is not powerful. When you grow to that level, you will need it to survive. And what you want to learn is that there's something flowing from all parts of the body of Christ to you. I've said too many things. And I'm careful. I could have said more, but I'm careful. For the sake of people misunderstanding and misinterpreting the things I'm saying. And let me say this to you. Whenever God sends you to a territory, don't go for a few. I told you, when you go to a territory to do a new work, don't launch hook, launch net. When you do hook, one person at a time. What have you come to do here? One-on-one. So I'll bring you, invite this person. No. God has sent me to, let's give for instance, I'm new in Ibadan. God has sent me to Ibadan. You know what I'm going to do? Under God, and they know the way I operate. I tell you, I prepare yourself. I'm coming for a general apostolic meeting. Who are you? When I come, you will know. Do you know that we bombarded you high with a lot of meetings before we came to Ibadan? No, you didn't know. It was not occurring to you that we were coming. Having several meetings, you will not really do well in an environment that you are a stranger. The way to colonize any system is your word to get there before you get there. Even Jesus sent them 2 by 2 where he himself will come. But you are the first person to go. And you think you will do well? No. Send them where you will go. So what are we doing now? We are preparing to enter different nations. We've launched our net. It was a net. And it brought me from 25 different countries. And I told them at day one of meeting, I'm not gathering you here to disciple you. You are members of Self Light Church. It's church we want to do. If you don't know, you want to leave, leave now. See, you cannot raise pillars. You cannot raise pillars without being deliberate. You have to tell them. If you are here, it's church. And if you see people among them that believe can pastor with you, can you? I'm going to train you. But these are the requirements. Do you get what I'm saying? We've been having International School of Ministry, prayer for singles in diaspora, doing all those things. Why? We are going there. Our word was go to where we are going. Because they will need to encounter the word for them to be waiting for us. You will struggle if you get there first. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can go on and on and on. Many ministers are spineless. One time like that, we were going to have a meeting. Our ministry was just even starting. I needed something. Remember that day? Yeah, the one that was calling. They said so-and-so president or so-and-so fellowship said it's not releasing. I said, put him on the phone. You remember that day? I said, put him on the phone. Oh boy, do you know who is talking to you? Release that sound now. Oh boy, we're not even gathering 50 people. I'm talking to you, release that sound. I need it. When Joseph said, go and tell the people who own the coat, the master have need of it. By what spirit was he speaking? The guy said, sorry, sir. Yeah, he released it and came to set. One time we had a meeting, use covered pavilion on U campus. He said, coach, the coach was giving the problem. I said, let's go to where he is. He said, let's go there. I stepped into that place. He was surprised. You know that the same coach saw me, skinny and all that, brought chair. I said, please sit down, sir. Sit down. Where's fine? Are you fine, sir? The same man, by what authority? I stepped to place. They said, this is, shut down now. I'm coming to use this place. Hey. Say, listen to what I'm saying. This is not bold faced. Don't try it. It is what I have prayed something through. I'm to execute it through speaking. How do you pastor? When I got to Abuja, first week I began to tell them, we are leaving this place. You have not even started. I said, we are leaving this place. After 3 weeks or so, 1 acre showed up. Say, we want to get the acre. Say, listen to what I'm saying. I began to talk about project before the money comes. Money finance what is on ground, not what is on your mind. We have it on ground. We have seen it. Not that I'm still thinking. No! I have priced it and this is the price. That's when God responds. Listen to what I'm saying. Every ministry do better when there are projects. Because God supplies. You are the one killing the ministry by not having projects. And let me say this to you. I've checked these statistics. The finance of our people grew during project. I'm telling you. After it, everybody just shoot at the level. Jobs, opportunities. I know how many people have had to quietly dedicate and bless multi-millionaire infrastructures. Some outside the country, just speak a word, sir. What shifted? The word. Let's just go to Abuja and say, we're going to leave this place. Why? Because I didn't come to this city with hook. I came with net. Give me a place where once we launch out the net, we can have a great catch and mature them there. Ministry requires audacity. It is for the bold, not for the spineless. Some of you ministers struggle to hear your own message because you hate the way you sound. It will not touch the world until you love it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I hear my teachings, I'm excited. I love the way I sound. I love the body of wisdom and the doctrine. This is not what you are doing, testing. This has been for a while. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you seeing that you have a role to play? You have serious work to do as a minister and as a ministry gift. Stop playing small and letting God's people get destroyed. Stop saying small things. You can't touch nations with the way you are doing. You can't. That sense of urgency informs the way you pray, informs the way you labor, informs your activities. Sense of urgency. But the balance is this. You don't play outside the scope of your calling. But everything required to do within the frame of the calling, do it. With all diligence. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Do you want to rise on your feet? And if there's something you've seen or something that stood out for you in the meeting, I don't know what I've spoken to all of you, depending on what your area of need is. So you can communicate it to God depending on what was revealed to you. Let's be fast. We have to wrap up this session now. I'm 4 minutes past time. All right. In Jesus' name we're praying. Now let me say this to you. Will I add it? No, maybe some other time. Let me add it. In ministry, free venue is not a gift. It's a trap. Because you will never have faith to provide for it. The day they sack you, you will have to start from square one. I don't know who that word is for. People are ministers. Let me just give you this free venue. No. I will not do for my God what won't cost me anything. Our faith needs to grow. Many ministers enter into trouble when they left their free venue. That when they discovered that they have capacity, they didn't build it. Father, I ask that the eyes of your children be enlightened. I ask that ministers will receive strength and invigoration to do what is right and do it well. When they leave this place, they know exactly what to execute. They know what to put in place. By your mighty hand, O Lord, raise giants from this place in the name of Jesus. None of you will be small and you will not die before your time. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 22150052 89 UBA. The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 22150052 89 UBA.